Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, the show that is not about comics, not about movies, and not even about Doctor Who, Supernatural, or Firefly. We are a show about all of that and much more. I am Brandon Ushio.
I'm Nathan Caldwell.
I'm Cortland Caldwell.
I am Groot.
Had to one-up me.
For those of you who don't know who plays Groot, that's Jordan. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day trial at www.audible.com/fandom. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Welcome to this issue of the Fandom Podcast. We're excited. It's contest time here. We have a winner on our Mother's Day draft, and that winner is Brittany Chatterton. She commented in and she said, I would have to say, number one, Lily Potter. She not only gave her life for her son, but she ensured that he was protected. Number two, Snow White / Mary Margaret from Once Upon a Time. She's sacrificed a lot for Emma, and she didn't even get to see her grow up. But I love the relationship they have now, even though they are now both about the same age. She is her mother first and is always there to give her advice. Three, Martha Kent, which I just have to add, it was my choice. Martha Kent, for all the reasons that you said. Plus, she probably reminds me most of my mom. 3 years ago, I met a 15-year-old Ukrainian orphan, and that night had him on my parents' doorstep. My mom instantly accepted him, and from that moment started the process to adopt him. He is her child just as much as I am. Number four, Molly Weasley.
That was mine.
Yeah, but that was number four when we only went to three, so Nate's add-in doesn't count. So number four, Molly Weasley. She is so accepting of everyone, and I think that's how I would be if I was a mother. So congratulations, Brittany. Send us an email to feedback@fandompodcast.com with your address, and we'll send you out that signed copy of The Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix. It's number one, signed by Scott Lobdell. We're really excited. You know, you had a great team there. It was really fun to see your thoughts on that as well. We also, don't worry, that contest just ended, because we have some more over on the website. And relating to that, I'm going to read a comment from Jared Elder in response to last week's episode. Jared said, "So I would have to say that my favorite movie in the sci-fi would be hands down a movie that changed and started the genre, Star Wars. 38 years and counting. People are still going fandom over it." So I know exactly what he means, that because if we have anyone writing in saying, well, it didn't technically start the genre, but it was such a big thing that I think that it started quite a bit on that.
Is that like new and improved? Changed and started?
It changed and started. New and improved. It chops, it slices, it dices. It's only $19.99. Okay, now that I'm being a pitch man.
All right. So not a lot in the news this week, but a big one that probably has a lot of people excited is it's been confirmed that Batman will be appearing in Suicide Squad. We'll have a link in the show notes for video footage of the Batmobile chasing Joker in a very lovely red sports car. And rumor is that this scene is going to be a flashback, which might be a Harley Quinn flashback, and probably why Joker and Batman tie into it. So maybe that Joker isn't even part of the main story, but just part of a flashback.
Kind of telling us who Harley Quinn is.
That's usually what flashbacks do.
Well, usually. Not necessarily all the time. Quit looking at me like that. Yeah, like that.
Jord, what did you think about the Batman being in Suicide Squad?
Well, I was a little happy when I saw it was a flashback scene, because that's one thing with the Suicide Squad movie. I want it to actually be a Suicide Squad movie and not just another Joker or Batman movie revolving or having the Suicide characters in it. But it does kind of annoy me with how much of all the press and hype has just been so focused on the Joker, and now so much press with the Batman being in it, and you know, there's a flashback. Who knows? It could be one scene, could not be anything important to the actual plot of the movie. That I understand, you know, big characters and big movies, and they, you know, focus on what makes money, but it would be nice to see a little bit more from the main characters and the actual characters that are integral into the Suicide Squad. So I don't know, Court, what do you think about it?
I feel about the same way that I'm going to have to go with Nate on this and be whelmed. But
starting to train.
I don't want to see another Batman Joker movie. I've seen it before. If it's going to be a Suicide Squad movie, I want it to be a Suicide Squad movie, you know? And if it's a flashback, all right, you know, make a scene a flashback. But just like you said, Jordan, there's so much press focused on the Joker and on Batman when they, even throughout the comic books, and that they don't play such a huge part as everybody's making it out to be. So I really hope that it doesn't turn into another Batman Joker with a couple extra characters added in.
I kind of hope that turns into a red herring, kind of like how everyone was talking about who Cumberbatch was in the Star Trek, and he turned out to be Khan, but everyone was looking a different direction, so we didn't necessarily think that.
Very valid point.
Yeah. All right. If it looks, seems like doesn't nobody else has any more comments, should we just jump right into our TV seasons section now?
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty good to jump into that TV season in review.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about some of the TV seasons and series that have ended recently. So there is going to be spoilers. So if you haven't watched the TV shows that we're about to talk about and you do want to go see them, don't listen. Just turn it off now. Go
I will
run
have a
to
list.
Netflix or Hulu.
I'll have a list in the show notes as to what episodes, or not episodes, but TV shows we're going to be spoiling, because this one will be very heavily spoiler intensive.
Pretty much like the majority of our podcasts.
Since, yes, you know, every
Brandon
podcast
likes to give us all these spoilers.
Yeah.
So, my TV show that I wanted to talk about was Sons of Anarchy, the season 7, and also the series finale. Just recently, I watched it on Netflix, and I love how they did it. They wrapped up the series quite well. There's a couple of questions about what would happen to Abel and what would happen to Thomas. You know, there's a couple of questions, but not enough to make it an unfinished series. They ended it quite well with Jax dying the same way his dad did, which I thought was an amazing ending to give Jax, and kind of went full circle with his story. Has anybody else watched the Sons of Anarchy?
I haven't, but I know Ron Perlman's in it. But is it, are they only 13 episode seasons or 24 episode seasons, or you who watched it? Is it like Breaking Bad, where in Walking Dead, like some of those where the seasons aren't?
Yeah, they're 13 episode seasons.
Okay, so 7 seasons really isn't too bad to catch up on then. It's really only 3.5 seasons of Supernatural.
So I have never watched it, but I've been intrigued by it. So now that the series is wrapped up, what kind of grade would you give the series, Cortland? Because I think you may be the only one on here that's listened to it or watched it. I'm so wrapped up in podcasts and audiobooks that I'm turning everything into listening. So what kind of grade would you give it? Why would I want to watch it? What kind of story is it?
This is definitely one that's like you wouldn't want to watch with your kids. There's a lot of vulgarities, a lot of adult situations, a lot of blood and gore and violence, but that's the kind of thing that you'd expect from a hardcore motorcycle club that, like that. So, you know, basically it follows the story of Jax Teller and how he's in the motorcycle club called the Sons of Anarchy, which, you know, they do all the normal things that motorcycle clubs do, run guns and drugs and kill people. It's pretty awesome. Love to see the motorcycles they have in there. Like they have some classic bikes in there and show them fixing it up, and they'll talk about some of the bikes and things like that, which I thought was really cool. Overall, I would say this is one worth watching because it does have, like, I believe the 3rd season, where it does get kind of slow and it focuses more on, like, trying to save Abel from the, what was it? Somebody. I don't know. Somebody kidnapped Abel. Like, the Irish. That's who it was. And then it goes through, it focuses on that, which parts of that get really boring and there's a lot of drama involved. But for the most part, it's a really fast paced show. So you're not sitting there bored out of your mind. It's not so focused on drama that you just want to shut it off. You know, if you can make it through the 1 or 2 episodes that have a lot of drama, then the rest of that season is absolutely fast-paced, just amazing blood and gore and violence and all the things that I enjoy. I know a lot of us don't enjoy blood and gore and violence as much as I do.
Oh, well,
but
I don't
it's
mind blood and gore
worth
and violence.
One to check out.
So definitely one to check out. That's good. I don't mind that blood and gore and violence, just as long as it's in serving the story. So that might be one to check out.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I also had people tell me how great Breaking Bad was and best series ever, and then I watched all that and I did not feel it, but I've been intrigued by Sons of Anarchy.
I think that might be more because you didn't watch it with everyone else. Because if you weren't, like, into the hype was it 5 seasons long?
Yes.
When the 4th or 5th season was on, then you kind of missed the boat on that one. And it was just, I think it was more of a cultural thing than a storytelling thing.
Yeah. So,
well, Sons of Anarchy, it does have a better story than Breaking Bad, in my opinion. But Breaking Bad's got a lot of in-depth with science, and I absolutely love that. It just talks about the different chemicals used for whatever bomb or meth or whatever they're making that episode.
Yeah. All right. I think we've beat Sons of Anarchy to death, just like a biker gang would beat another biker gang to death.
Bad analogy.
Really bad. I was reaching there.
You watching anything else, Cortland?
Nothing that's wrapped up right now. I need to catch up on a few other shows, so I'll throw it over to Jordan and let him talk about what he's been watching.
Yeah, the season's been weird. It seems like there's a lot that kind of started mid-season and are continuing to go. I think that there's a few shows I'm watching that are only about halfway through right now. But, of course, the biggest, longest, and best is Supernatural, where a 10th season wrapped up. They've talked about how amazing 10 seasons is before for TV show in general, but especially for sci-fi. And it was very, very good. One of my top seasons. And I don't like spoilers, so I won't get into too much of the detail. Sometimes I feel like you need to carry around a little thing to just play River's Song when people ask me questions. I just hit the button so she can tell them spoilers.
See, I ran into this on a post about spoilers. So personally, I don't care about getting spoiled. So if you're worried about saving me because you know that I'm only in season 7, then don't worry about that. But I do say that it is getting better, but man, there are definitely some high points and low points in this season. Compared to, let's say, season 5, how would you say this one is?
Well, first I'll say season 6 was by far the worst. Season 7 was a little better. You personally, I think you'll really like season 8 because it does get into some of that power vacuum stuff a little more. And it's really a fun season, and that's kind of where it got back on track. And part of the reason I love Supernatural so much is because they do the long story arc so well, along with the season story arc thrown in with, you know, other people call them filler episodes, but I love them because that's when you get to see a lot of the different mythologies and different things that don't necessarily have to do with the story arc, but are still really cool and fun to see. And for those that haven't watched Supernatural, seasons 1 through 5, that was just originally supposed to be the show. It was just those 5 seasons, a story arc that went all the way through all 5 seasons. But because of the popularity, they kept going. And so I think that's why for a lot of people, season 5 was so amazing, because it kind of finally wrapped everything up. And then that's why you have the big drop-off to season 6.
It made those
now,
first three
since season
seasons.
8, things are getting better. And
yeah, sorry about that.
Season 10 has gotten back to setting more stuff up. And for those that have watched it, in season 9, what they did with the story of Cain and Abel and the Mark of Cain was one of my favorite twists on what they did with mythologies. And season 10 is all about removing the Mark of Cain from Dean. And the season finale, what it's set up for is, I mean, you can't really explain it, because even regardless of spoilers, I couldn't really explain it without people having watched this season. But as far as season finales, this one probably has me more excited for the next season than any other previous season finales, just because it gives you kind of a hint of like what's coming. But even though you have that hint, you still have no idea how they're going to do it. The magnitude of it is going to be one of the biggest things they've ever done on the show. And so if you're a fan who has fallen a little bit behind, or you're looking for that excuse to catch up, or you usually wait till the next season comes out on Netflix, this is a season I'm telling you, don't wait till it comes out on Netflix. Find a way to watch it and catch up, and you can sit in anticipation with the rest of us while we wait for season 11.
Yeah, I know you've been pushing Supernatural, and I keep telling you, it's on my list to watch, but they just finished season 10. They're obviously going to be doing a season 11, and it's one, they do 23 episodes a season, so it's 230 episodes that I'm looking at right now, plus more that, and I know it's, you know, obviously it's continuing to go because it's got the fan base, but some series like that, it's like, you need to set a mark and just be like, okay, that's the show, and like, Breaking Bad, you know, bring it up again. It could have kept going because of the popularity, but they're like, no, this is where the story ends. And that's just my biggest reason why I haven't got into it yet, is just thinking about that much to try to get through is just exhausting.
Yeah, well, like I said, that was their original plan, and it was just supposed to be the 5-season story arc. But it is one, for me personally, obviously it's easy to say it's worth it when you're such a big fan. And for me, I'm able to watch it at work, so it's a lot easier for me to get through shows. But just to put into perspective, and Nate just talked about how many episodes there are, but I started watching Supernatural. My friends finally convinced me in, I think it was late November, early December, but shortly after Thanksgiving. And I had caught up through all 9 seasons and started watching on the current season live by March. And so for me, it's one that, yeah, it's a lot of episodes, but with the storyline, it's one that you want to keep going. And like Brandon, I know it's only been a couple months and he's already to season 7. So it's one that, I mean, if you don't like it, you watch the first couple seasons, it's not for you, whatever. But for most everyone I've talked to that has watched it, they're people that they watch religiously. And if they start, how late they catch up as quickly as possible. So it's definitely a great show.
Yeah, that's something that I think I'm a little different than most people. I will turn on a show, and I'm kind of like Nate in the fact that I'm obsessive, but I wouldn't judge that show based off of the first two seasons. The third season, it starts to hit its stride and starts to pay off for some of those things in the first two seasons. And then season 4 and season 5 become great. Season 6 has been garbage. And season 7, I'm not good at tongue twisters, season 7 is another climbing season, I can tell. It's one that's leading to something, and it's gradually getting better, but it started out just as bad as season 6 was.
Yeah. Well, I know you've watched Cord. Are you current on it, or are you behind?
I am actually behind. I didn't get a chance to start season 10, and it's been a pain to try and stream it, because I don't like to sit at my computer and stream. I like to sit on my bed, but my tablet doesn't like to stream anything. So I have watched a couple episodes from season 10, and I've just got to agree with all your guys' points. Season 1 through 5 is amazing, and then season 6 kills it.
That wasn't my point. Seasons 1 and 2 were horrible. They were garbage.
Yeah. Well, comparative.
Okay.
Comparative.
Yeah. I got burned by Smallville and it going 10 seasons, and really, like, Smallville, like, I understand it had the fan base and stuff, and a lot of people love it, and it's probably blasphemy to say this, but it probably should have wrapped things up about season 7. It was just, like, seasons 8, 9, and 10, like, I would turn on while I'd go clean the house and be like, yep, watch that episode, when, like, I wasn't even in the room for most of it.
Well, that's one of those things about Supernatural, is it's something you don't have to sit down and analyze. You can if you are interested in, like, the lore side of the superstitions, but what's really nice about it is you don't have to pay that much attention. It's not a show like Game of Thrones where you have to figure out who's in which house, or it's not a show like Sherlock or
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead, or any of those shows where you have to pay attention. Because on shows like Sherlock and The Walking Dead, if you're not paying attention, you miss a big chunk of the story. So like if you're off doing other things, it's not going to be as good to you. But Supernatural hits on the same points over and over and over enough that you can enjoy it even if you're not paying attention to it. And then if you are paying attention to it, then you can get those finer details in there. But they're not necessary to the story. In the industry, they're called like dish soap shows, where you can be in the kitchen doing the dishes and still follow along enough that you know what's going on and you feel like you're informed and you're not like, oh, who's that? It's kind of like Law and Order, one of those shows where you can watch, where it's fun to watch sometimes, but it's also something that you can just turn on and do other stuff. That's kind of why it's on all the time on cable. So do you have any other shows for us, Jordan?
No, that's the only one.
Okay, well then, apparently, I watch a whole lot more TV than you guys. So I will limit it down. There's a couple that I'll talk about, but I also know that Nate will cover some of the ones that I want to cover. So I will go to some of my shows.
Well, let's just start talking about them then. Let's start Walking Dead, since we just brought that one up, is one that isn't, if you're not paying attention, you miss stuff, and then you're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, because in Walking Dead, so season 5, in my opinion, was one of the best seasons that they have had. It really showed, and I really like, and maybe I wouldn't like the series as much if I didn't read the comics. Maybe I wouldn't like it as much if I didn't read the foreword on the comics, because Robert Kirkman basically said, I'm doing this story because in every zombie movie, they do their zombie movie, but there's still a world out there. And he wants to explore the world outside of the zombie movie. He wants to, when the hero's done and the world is trying to piece itself back together after it's figured out what's going on, he wants this story. And he wants to show us what would human beings do, in his opinion, if there were no social norms anymore. And he does even more in the comics than he does in the TV. So I think maybe that added comic experience has added to my enjoyment from the show. But I don't know. Nate, what do you think? Because I know you watched a lot of it before you read the comics.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Just, like, I'll be the first to admit, like, season 1, I was so bored with it. And it was a year later before I watched season 2. And it was about halfway through season 2 where it started to grip me. But then I started getting involved with the characters, And like the way season four ended with the Terminus stuff and just, it was just, it kind of like season four was like, oh, here we go again. Like they just can never catch a break. But season five, like the way it starts out and just some of the things that happen. And I've caught up reading the comics to where they're at in this television series, basically getting to Alexandria. And it's been interesting because they're starting to realize that the Walking Dead isn't zombies, that they're kind of, in a sense, they're just wandering, just can't figure out, you know, like a place to stay that they can defend and not have people constantly attacking them and always worried about these small groups. And you think you find a place like Terminus that's going to be great, and then there are cannibals that want to eat you. And so, yeah, I've been intrigued by the human aspect of the zombie show.
Yeah, because this show, the zombies are just not even worth being there. Yeah. They're just there to push the plot along a little bit. And I know that some people's hate of this show. Some people that I've talked to love zombies so much that they hate that they're just kind of like and then a zombie comes in this. Because zombies aren't scary to this group anymore. So I think that's something that classic zombie lovers are going to hate. Jordan, I know you don't have the fondest feelings for this show, and I know you just kind of sat through and burned through the first four seasons. What is it that you think that me and Nate are missing?
I think Jordan took his headphones off so he wouldn't miss any spoilers, since he's only up to season four. So I don't know if he's going to, but I do know he hasn't been as impressed by it, but I think it's another one, though, that he's burned through so quickly that, kind of like I did with Breaking Bad, where everybody told me how great it was, and I burned through it so quickly that I miss, like being in the moment of the episode and waiting for the next week and things like that.
Okay, we'll have to do a zombie horror show kind of thing and see what Jordan thinks after he's able to get all caught up. So yeah. We'll let him know.
I'm scared to do a zombie horror show.
I will be there. I just won't have watched a lot of this stuff. But to me, Walking Dead, like, it's got some intense moments. Like I said, it's not really a scary zombie type thing, because once you realize that it's about these people and their struggle, then it takes away kind of the horror aspect of it, in my sense. But I don't know.
Yeah, to me, one show... Definitely more of a drama style than a horror.
Yeah. But one show that I think is getting up there with Supernatural that I do watch and I like, but I think is starting to reach is Castle. Like, it's picked up for season 8, so we'll get another season of it. But I really think they should have wrapped things up with season 6, because it's starting, as much as I love Nathan Fillion and I like watching the show, it's starting to feel a little bit played out.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those shows. I've watched it since it started, and I've loved it. It's a police procedural about a goofy writer following around a hotshot detective, and love happens after lots of years. But it's such a phoned-in show in this last season. I feel like they're just kind of there.
Yeah. Well, they had wrapped a lot of stuff up, and the season 6 finale gave you the whole Castle's missing thing, and then, like, basically they were giving them a built-in storyline for season 7, and it was like, you'd wrapped up the stuff with Kate and with the death of her mother, and they were going to get married, and it was like, if they would have just ended with the marriage, and you go out on a happily ever after sort of note, I think it'd been and I will still watch every episode of season 8 because I'm too OCD and I can't not watch it. But I really feel like it's one that is going to start, you know, people are going to, the same way I feel about Supernatural, and be hesitant to get started just because there's so much of it.
Okay, so from what I understand, there were some disputes between Nathan Fillion and ABC over money. And he's pretty much like, tough, good luck doing this show without me. And so the thing that he has done is he has tried to make it so that he is integral. And I feel like the ending of this last season was them saying, well, if you don't sign, we're killing your character off. Or you get married and the show's ended and fans are happy. But he did sign. He's like, okay, let's make some more money. And so they had to continue it on from there. It's kind of like season 5 of Supernatural. I would have completely felt like Supernatural was great if it finished after 5, and same thing with Castle after that last season.
Yeah, it's one that I will not feel bad about not restarting next season, that I'm done with, and Jordan was smarter on this than me, was Gotham. Jordan quit it a lot sooner, and have you even caught up, Brandon? Are you going to catch up?
I will catch up. I started the season, and I think about the time that they took the break, I just never came back to the show. And it kind of made me realize, oh, you know, I don't really care that much about this show. Personally, Gotham, it is not up against the other shows in its time slot, because the people who are going to watch Gotham are our generation, and we generally don't watch live TV. Whether it's DVR'd and time-shifted, or watching it over it with an over-the-top service like Hulu Plus or with Netflix, like, all of a sudden, if I didn't have Supernatural in my queue right now, I probably would be watching Gotham, because I pop on about 3 episodes of Supernatural a night while I'm working on stuff. And so that's time where I could be investing in other shows. Granted, kind of like what I said earlier, Supernatural's great for that. We don't have a whole lot of brain power, but we want to watch a show, and it's a good show to watch while you're working on other stuff, and it's also a good show to watch if you want to delve into the minutia.
Yeah. So how far did you make it into Gotham, Jordan?
I watched the first 10 episodes, and we planned on watching it after the break, and then never got around to it, and it's kind of like Brandon said, like, realize we're not watching it, really didn't care about it that much. Actually, last week, we finally just deleted it off the DVR to make some space, so, and especially with Supergirl coming up, that's going to be in that same time slot, that we're probably going to start watching that, so it's really kind of in the gray for us.
Yeah, you really didn't miss a whole lot either, and like, I was frustrated. It was originally billed as like being, you know, follow Detective Gordon and seeing how Jim Gordon rises to police commissioner and stuff. But that's been really only one part of the story. Then you have all this stuff with Bruce Wayne still being there, which I'm kind of mad that they kept Bruce around and made him part of the story and just some of the things they did with him. But really the only good part of Gotham has been the stuff with Penguin. And that just kind of seeing how Penguin kind of becomes that major player was interesting. But then the end of the season, like, you had everything going on with Fish Mooney, and they bring her back, and then there's just basically this big war, and Falcone quits, and Maroni gets killed, and Penguin kills Fish, and so it's like, all you've got left now is Penguin. He doesn't have competition. So you took away the most interesting part of the show, that I would have kept watching for. So I am not going to feel bad at all about letting it go to the grave and not watching it at all next season.
Yeah, and I think it is kind of interesting. Sorry, getting that bad echo again. Okay, should it be good? I think it's kind of interesting because everything else in the DC universe is so successful right now. And, you know, we talk about DC's at a point now that they're getting shows greenlighted really without anything. And something I learned new recently from Tina Fey's book, which a quick sidebar, I have to admit really quick that I signed up for my free trial on Audible. And with my free book, I was planning on getting Ready Player One because I know we're doing an episode on it soon. But Tina Fey's book was just right there staring me in the eye that I had to get that. So I guess Audible will be getting a little more of my money when I get Ready Player One.
I heard that one was
aside
pretty
from
good.
That, go ahead.
I heard that she read that one herself. And that's something that's kind of cool about all of these Audible books.
Yeah, and it's really fun. And the way she does it, because she doesn't just read straight through it, she really tailored it for the audiobook experience. And especially, like, there's a lot of impressions she does. There's clips from SNL and different things she adds in there. So it definitely, the Audible experience with that one definitely makes it worth it to go get that book rather than just reading it.
Yeah, but I think the reason Gotham struggled as a DC show and the others succeeded is Gotham is not being developed by the same people doing Flash and Arrow and Supergirl and the Teen Titans show and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's definitely a showrunners, but Jordan, you were making a point about Tina Fey before I cut you off because of my fanboyish stuff for Audible. So what was it that Tina Fey said?
Well, it's really interesting. Maybe other people know this, and I've just been in the dark and naive, but she was talking about the process in which, you know, you get the pilot episode ready, sometimes maybe that first 6 episodes, and the studios, they gather all the major advertisers, so all these major companies that come, and they watch these shows and say, yes, we think this is going to be good, we'll put so much money towards this, we'll put so much money towards that. And she was talking about it with Parks and Rec, and kind of sometimes you really have to take a chance that the feedback you get is kind of iffy, and sometimes it's a clear, like, the advertisers are full in, And that, to me, that was something I had never really knew about and how much they really play a role in what gets a chance to even premiere. And so I just think that is such a huge testament to where DC is at right now, is that they're able to green light shows even before that process. The advertisers have bought in. They know that it's going to be good. It's going to be something that they're willing to spend their money on for ad time. And like Nate said, with different developers, you know, Gotham doesn't quite have that same quality, I guess. It really maybe kind of makes it stick out even more like a sore thumb, because you have so much success from the DC universe. And then there's Gotham just kind of off to the side that I wouldn't be surprised if it gets canceled.
Yeah, in fairness to Gotham, it is not the only DC TV show to fail this year, because Constantine is a DC character, and that one didn't even make it a full season.
Yeah, I think it's a lot to say about Guggenheim and Berlanti. Right now, if they say they're doing a TV show, I'm going to watch it, because they've gone into these superhero shows with their vision. They know what it is that they are. They're not trying to make themselves more serious. They're not trying to do things that are just over the top. They are a comic book show, and they know that. You listen to some of the dialogue from Captain Cold and all these other shows, and that's another thing. They're fans of the comic, and so I think that's a lot of why they did it. You came into these shows, especially Flash and Arrow, knowing what you have, knowing what you were. And Gotham, it felt like it was taking a long time for the show to figure out who exactly it was. Am I a mob boss show? Am I a superhero show? Am I the
crime drama?
Am I a crime drama? It never figured itself out in the time that I was watching it.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking DC stuff, should we talk Flash and Arrow? Because I mean, you really can't talk one without the other the way this season went. And I think as it goes on, I don't think you'll be able to talk one without the other.
Well, I think you can talk about them one without the other. But because we watched both, they are so intertwined. I think that you could actually sit down and watch Flash and not lose that much from not watching Arrow, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think it's a deeper experience. Like, when Felicity first shows up, if all you've watched was Flash, you'd be a little confused at who Felicity was.
Yeah, and so there are a couple things like that. They definitely complement each other. I'm not going to say that they don't work together. They definitely complement each other. Same universe. It's kind of that Marvel cinematic feel, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this was going into this TV viewing season back in September. Arrow was at the top of my list of must watch. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had done enough at the end of season one to get me excited about that. Gotham I was going to check out. But Flash I was kind of excited for. By the end of the season, Flash is my top show. I cannot wait for next season for Flash. Flash is my number one show next year. And it's like not even close. Like, it zoomed past the others. See what I did there? But Flash this year, like, Arrow kind of started this stuff off, but started with kind of the serious tone and more of what DC had been doing in their movies and a lot of kind of the typical CW show type stuff. And Flash came in and just said, you know what? We're a superhero show and we're embracing that.
Yeah, definitely. I've expressed my opinion a little bit on this, on the podcast. And I know I've talked to Nate ad nauseum about this, but I feel like Arrow had to come in and be the teenage heartthrob superhero movie TV show, because we're on the CW and that's what they expect. And so they have this weird ladder workout thing where he's doing it at least once an episode, where he's shirtless and jumping and flexing his muscles for those teenage girls who were the traditional viewers on the CW. And over time, they started saying, okay, now you're here and we're going to slowly bring you to the superhero world. And then by the time Flash came out, they didn't have to be like, oh yeah, here's hunky Flash. They could be like, all right, here's the Flash on CW. Yeah, we've got younger characters, but we're a superhero show. You bring in characters like Captain Cold in the first season, and they're not pretending to be serious at all.
The Weather Wizard.
The Weather Wizard, Rainbow Rider.
Yeah.
I mean, they pulled the most obscure and silly characters they could because they knew who they were. And I think part of it is also because they don't want to overlap anymore with the Justice League movies, because I feel like they got a little burned on that.
Well, yeah, and that's... We had an episode of Arrow this season with... Like, Suicide Squad's been prevalent in every season of Arrow. And really, like, season two, they started to, like, have their own episodes that were just Suicide Squad episodes. But season three, you had, you know, and a spoiler, but Deadshot supposedly dies on a mission.
But it's a comic book show, and nobody ever dies in the comics.
But really what they were doing was Deadshot's going to be in Suicide Squad, the movie, and so they had to take him out of the CW Arrowverse, whatever we're going to call that. And it's, you know, they had introduced a character that, Cupid, and she's got this crush fascination with Arrow, and they put her on the Suicide Squad team. And she was really their Harley Quinn, because they couldn't use Harley Quinn. And it's, you're seeing stuff that DC's doing where it, I think they're hurting these shows by not letting them have some of these characters to explore with and do stuff with. But the season finales, like Arrows was a good season finale, but really was almost felt series finale-ish. Like the series, it's going to come back, but if it ended there, like they set things up nice for an end, you know, but the way the Flash season finale ended, it was...
That was jaw-dropping.
Yeah. It was, like, watching it, like, I'd watched it, and then watching it with a girl, and one of the twists they have at the end, like, she literally, like, jaw-dropped, and she was, what the f...
I think I know what you're talking about, and it wasn't gender-specific, because when it happened, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was shocked by it, but I did not, like, she was, like, serious, like, wide-eyed, and... But... And I've got, we'll post in the show notes, but for those of you that watched it, the stuff that Barry sees in the Speed Force, somebody's gone through and slowed that stuff down so you can see the images better, and then put captions explaining what each image you're seeing. And one of the cool things that, if you've been following it, and those that are in, you know, follow DC Comics really well, know that Caitlin is a well-known villain, actually. And they showed... One of the things he saw in the Speed Force was her as the villain.
I have not seen that, but that's some impressive stuff.
Yeah, so Jord, I know we've talked deal stuff before, and it's summertime, and I need something new to start, so I will start Supernatural, but you've got to find time to start Arrow and Flash and give those ones a chance to get caught up on, and... Because right now, like, this season one of Arrow's kind of rough. You kind of just need to get through to, like, the last 4 or 5 episodes when everything they've been building up to. But season two, it gets strong. And then season three, with everything in Flash and Arrow, you need to get to there.
Well, I've already watched 4 seasons of The Walking Dead. Know my opinions on that. So once you finish the first 2 seasons of Supernatural, then I'll start Flash and Arrow.
Walking Dead's like half seasons, so it's really only like 2 seasons of so that's fair.
That's what I said.
Yeah. But really, like, Flash and Arrow, way better, in my opinion, than Walking Dead. Like, I like Walking Dead. It's a good one. I enjoy it each week. But Flash is at the top of my list.
Yeah, if you like a good comic book, I definitely think that Flash and Arrow are that TV version of that. The Walking Dead, in my opinion, is all about characters, but the Flash and Arrow are definitely those comic books on TV.
Yeah. Well, and one that's still going on, but you've been watching Court, that's another, it's actually a Vertigo, which is owned by DC, is iZombie. How's that going?
iZombie has been awesome. I talked about it on one of our previous podcasts, how she changes, you know, her entire personality episode to episode, and that's still continuing and making it so I can actually stand to sit through each hour of the episode, you know. It seems to be getting a little more dramatic and building up to them wanting to kill the head zombie guy. But other than the little bit of drama that's been thrown in here or there, it's actually been a really awesome season, and I've been every single day waiting for the next episode to come out. Has anybody else actually got a chance to watch iZombie yet?
No, I seriously considered starting it, but I just, with so much other stuff going on between work and podcast stuff and reading comics and doing those posts, and I was just like,
I
cannot.
The important stuff.
Yeah. I could not get involved in another show because my personality, like, I can't let it go until it finishes. Like, Gotham, now I can let go. It finished the season, I cannot come back to it. And iZombie sounds like a show that I would have got into and not wanted to let go, and. But so, and yeah,
without being caught up on Gotham, it's from what you guys have said, it seems like iZombie is definitely the better selection of the two. And it's worth checking out if you like zombie shows or if you like just a regular TV show that, you know, doesn't have one specific category to follow, then it's one to check out.
Isn't she like a forensics type person, like helps them solve crimes by eating the brains of the victim or something? Or did I totally misunderstand?
Kind of. She works in a morgue. She's a medical examiner, so she gets access to all the brains she needs through the morgue. But she has flashbacks of what had happened to the people that she eats their brains.
Okay.
And so that's how she helps the police department, because the morgue is inside the police department.
So who would win?
So that's how she
Sam and Dean or this girl? Like, if Sam and Dean ended up showing up to her morgue, would she still be alive?
You cut out really bad, Brandon. You're going to have to repeat that.
Sorry about that. So if Sam and Dean show up at her morgue, are they going to win, or is she going to win?
Oh, wow. It depends. If she eats Dean's brain, like, after he gets out of hell, there's one episode where she eats the brain of a PTSD, somebody who has PTSD, and she starts to go insane. So I could only imagine eating Dean's brain after he's been in hell.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got both of them, actually. So, there are a couple shows that I wanted to bring up that I don't think that anybody has watched one, and I'm not sure where everyone is on the second one. And these shows are Netflix shows, and this goes to what I was saying earlier about how the world is moving away from this season on TV, we're going to watch this, but, okay, I want to find a show on Netflix. The first show that I want to talk about is Daredevil, because I really thought that was a great one. And I know we've talked about it a lot already, and so I'm not going to go into it too far, but where are you guys at on Daredevil?
I finished the series.
Of course you did.
Yeah, that was one that once I got, had a chance to start watching it, I couldn't stop watching it. I thought it was great. I thought it was amazingly well done. Being on Netflix and what they were able to do, and instead of it being on ABC, and just especially you get to the end of the season and realize that, we said before, it's it's not another origin story. Like, the first episode wasn't this happened and now you realize the whole season's basically his origin story of going from just a guy dressed in black to really becoming the Daredevil of Hell's Kitchen and embracing that. And so, did you ever finish, Court?
Not quite. I have a couple more episodes left, and I've just been so busy that it's been hard for me to sit down and keep watching it. And not because it's a bad show or anything. They're just long episodes.
Yeah, because it's on Netflix, the hour episodes are actually almost a full hour instead of the 42, 43 minutes when you take out commercials. But did you ever get past the first episode, Jord?
I have not. After I caught up on what was on Netflix for The Walking Dead, I needed to take a little break from some of the fandom type shows, and right now I'm watching Parks and Rec. So once I've caught up on that, I'll get into the Daredevil and Arrow and all that stuff.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out there, and because I don't want to change too much of you guys' experience, although Netflix and all their promo stuff shows you that at some point he does don the traditional Daredevil costume. But this was, like Nate was saying, and we've had conversations about this, it was an origin story for the entire season. But they made you want to know his origin. It wasn't we better tell you Matt Murdock grew up in Hell's Kitchen and pulled himself out and now he's back in there saving. It was hey, who's that guy? I know him. Oh, blind guy who's beating people up. Oh, that's and then you want to know about Stick and how he trained Matt Murdock. You want to know about all this other stuff. You want to know about Kingpin's history and more than one origin story. It was two origin stories wrapped up into one with the Kingpin. And I think Vincent D'Onofrio just totally nailed this role. He made a Kingpin villain who you could like and who you could hate at the same time. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, well, Foggy is a character. They did Foggy so well. You get an episode where you learn more about Matt and Foggy in law school and kind of how they developed a friendship and stuff.
Avocados at law.
Yeah, I laugh so because I'd seen a meme because, you know, some people binge watch it the day they came out. And so I'd seen a meme about that and it didn't spoil anything because I didn't understand the context of it. But I laughed so hard when they avocados at law. So what's your one that none of us have seen?
So the one that none of you have seen is The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I've watched every episode.
You watched The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No.
I was like,
I saw it on your TV one time. And I've heard funny things about it.
Yeah, it's a good show. Going back to what Jordan was saying about Tina Fey, this one is by Tina Fey and was kind of designed to replace Parks and Rec and was actually slotted to be put on TV. But kind of what Jordan was saying about the Tina Fey book was that the advertisers were kind of lukewarm on it. And so Netflix said, how about we just pay you for this? And so they gave him the money. And then it becomes a Netflix original. And it's funny. And you start, and you can tell when they found out, oh, Netflix is buying us. We can put more stuff in here. Because they start talking about heroin and other stuff. But in the sitcom kind of funny way. It is not a smart show. It is not a groundbreaking show. It's a sitcom. It's funny. It's about a girl who was trapped in a bunker for 15 years. And gets pulled out, and she lost the last 15 years. She was, like, in junior high, and she has no idea what happened between when she was reading the Boxcar Children and today. Like, she's so confused about smartphones, and somebody got a FaceTime on their MacBook, and she's like, that's a big phone. And so it's just kind of fun to watch and think, oh, that's how the junior high me would kind of see this world that we have had. It's funny. It's one that I can sit down and watch with my wife, but it's a funny show. And if you liked Parks and Rec, from what everything I was told, you would like Kimmy Schmidt. So, and that, I think that really is one that's kind of out of fandom, but it's one that I was watching and is kind of leading to the Netflix revolution. It's just another nail in traditional TV's coffin. So anyone else, was I right? Did anybody else watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Like I said, I saw a few episodes when you and your wife were watching it.
I think Jordan found the next thing he's going to watch after Parks and Rec.
Yeah, so I was going to say, now that I know it exists, I'm definitely going to watch it.
So all the superhero stuff we've talked, we haven't talked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Brandon, I know you've watched, and I think you feel the same way as me, but how did you feel this season went?
So I actually have only watched part of it. It's just another one of those episodes that I'm probably going to watch on Netflix later. I thought it was really cool to start with the Inhuman stuff, and then I just kind of lost interest. I'm going to binge it. I know I am, because it's Marvel, but I feel like they are too tied to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I liked how Daredevil was able to say, hey, that event happened, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are all wrapped into what's going on in the movies. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about it, Nate?
Yeah, so I love the way the season started out. Because it started out with the Absorbing Man, Carl Crusher Creel. You had Whiplash in there. They introduced Mockingbird. Like, it was exciting. I was like, this is what I had always pictured it being. And then they started setting up the Inhuman stuff, which at first was still interesting and intriguing. But by the mid-season break, like, it had become so focused on the Inhuman stuff that after the break, and luckily we had Agent Carter in there during the break, which was just a fun 8-episode story arc in that one. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was just so about the Inhumans, and really it's setting the stage for Civil War, and they had the Tuesday before Age of Ultron came out in theaters, they had kind of their tie-in stuff, which when really was like Coulson had been on a mission and got information, and the episode ends with him talking to Maria Hill and him saying, I think it's time to send in the Avengers, and then Age of Ultron starts with them going in on the mission that Coulson was recommending to send him in on. So that was kind of exciting. And then there's some stuff in Age of Ultron that happens that you're like, wait a second, how did they? And then the next, you know, the Tuesday after Age of Ultron had premiered, they explained how some of that stuff, like what Coulson had been doing with S.H.I.E.L.D. to set up, you know, explain what had happened in Age of Ultron. But it just, the way the season ended, like other than one big shocking thing right at the end, I didn't think it was that great of an ending. It really dropped off, and I was really kind of disappointed with it.
Well, it's a shame, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is the show that I wanted as a kid, but it's not being done how I wanted it. So I think that that is something that we can definitely hope gets better, but it's not something that I'm probably not going to watch it for a long time, to be honest. And so it may take me a couple years to get to it. I'm definitely not watching season 3. They haven't really given me a reason that I need to. Am I wrong in this?
No, because you haven't seen, like, because of the way season two ended, I have to find out when I watch episode one of season three. And since I start that, then I'll have episode two, and it'll probably come back and be like, okay, this is, it's good. It's good again there. And then they'll, cause that's kind of how the first two seasons have gone for me is it starts out and I'm all excited and then it drops and then they have the big May movie and it's tied into that and it gets all exciting. And it just, this one didn't finish as strong as season one though.
I really like when shows realize that they are in or past their prime and put themselves out to pasture. I hate it when there are shows that have endings with cliffhangers. It's one of those things where I love it when stories wrap up. I love it when stories have a point and they get to it and it's over. And so anyone else have any TV shows to throw out before we change our subject a little bit? Speak now or forever hold your peace. All right.
I like peas.
Peace. Oh. Okay, so to change the subject completely, to try to ignore Nate, and also to give you guys some value, today's podcast, like we mentioned, was brought to you by Audible.com. And for you, the listeners of the Fandom Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their service. So one of the books that I love, and it was funny, I was just talking to a group of people today about it, and I've mentioned it the past 3 weeks, I think, on the podcast, is Ready Player One. That is one of my favorite books. And we'll go into more why on the book club that's coming up. But you get a completely different experience by listening to it than you do by reading it. And if you don't have time, if you have a commute, if you have a job where you've got headphones in all day and not dealing with people, it's a great way to pass that time. I love the Ready Player One, narrated by Will Wheaton. He's kind of a geek god, which makes it even that much more fun. Or if you are into the superhero stuff, there is a great one by Brandon Sanderson called Steelheart, which I could fully recommend. And the author wrote it in such a way that there are a lot of different voices talking, making it really hard, I think, for somebody to do an audiobook. But the guy that they had read it do a great job. And then they have more than just these novels, too. Like Jordan was mentioning, he was listening to the Tina Fey book, and she narrates it herself and makes it a really good experience. What did you think about that Tina Fey book? You said it jumped out right at you. Why did that jump out?
Well, I think it just jumps out because, especially like you said, when it's the author narrating it, you get a little more insight, and especially how Tina Fey did it. She tailored it specifically for the Audible experience. But there's also just so many that, I mean, I'm an English major. I've read a lot. There's certain books that I've read and then listened on Audible. For example, one of my favorite, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, is narrated by John C. Reilly. And the way he reads it and captures everything with his talents just makes the experience that much better, in my opinion.
Definitely. You get a good performer, and it just makes it that much better. They have a great selection. You head over to audibletrial.com/fandom, audibletrial.com/fandom, and get a free audiobook. Pick one of the ones we mentioned. Pick one of your own. Nate pointed out last week that he found a book that he hasn't found anywhere else. I think you'll really enjoy it, and you get some benefit out of it. You get a free trial, and that book is yours. It goes into your library, and you can listen to it as many times as you want. It's not a rental. It's not like Netflix where that book might disappear. That book is yours. It's yours to listen to, yours to stream, yours to download. So, again, go to audibletrial.com/fandom for your free trial. All right, so we're going to jump into some of our favorite things. We just talked about this TV season in review, and kind of like last week when we talked about our favorite movies, we're going to talk about our favorite TV shows. And I'm on the docket first for this one. And so my favorite TV show, and I'm trying to think of how bad I want to break the rules on this one, how much I want to make Nate mad. My favorite TV show is Star Trek. Can I leave it there? Because that's one TV show. Star Trek is a TV show.
Are you counting the whole universe?
Oh, I'm talking the whole universe. Mostly the TV, because I know that the movies are in the same universe, but I'm just not as big of a fan of the movie universe as I am the TV universe. You gonna let me hold that one from first generation all the way on through Enterprise, if you look at it in the universe. If you look at it just individual shows, Enterprise is out of there.
If that's what you want to go with, and you're going to leave it on that, and you're going to put TNG in the same category with Voyager's favorite TV.
I would put TNG in the exact same category as Voyager. If there's some time that I have to sit down and watch TV, I am not watching TNG. I'm watching Voyager.
Hand over your Chucky card.
No. They're all very different shows. Voyager, I think it kind of goes to like Doctor Who, where you don't forget your first Doctor. Voyager was the first Star Trek show that I chose to watch on my own without like my dad being like, okay, we're going to turn on Star Trek, or my older brother. This was one that I saw marketing for and I turned it on, and that's how I discovered it. It wasn't something that was just on that I sat down and watched and was like, oh, this is really good. So, but because they are so good, I will lump them all into the same category because I love them all just that much. It's like trying to name your favorite child. And you may be able to do that, but it changes day by day.
Blinky.
He's not yours. You can't call him.
I can name my favorite of your children.
Okay. My favorite TV show is Star Trek. Nate's giving me crap. So let's turn it over to Cortland and see if he can save us from this mess.
No, I can't save you from that at all. There's no...
No! Oh, wait, that's a different Star movie.
So, my favorite TV show, and it's so hard to choose just one TV show to go off of. There's so many different genres that I love to watch, and so I'll just go with what I've been watching, and one of my all-time favorites will always be the Pokemon series. From the very beginning, first season is like 84 episodes, and I can't tell you how many times I've watched them all the way through, even the weird band ones and everything. But it just continues on so far, and they keep adding more Pokemon for you. They keep adding something new for you every season they go through with, you know, Emerald and Sapphire to Black and White to Red and Blue, and everything just adds something new to the series and gives you a little different glimpse of the Pokemon world in throughout each, I guess, expansion that they do to the series.
Have you seen the Safari Zone episode?
Which one?
The Safari Zone episode. You want to explain, George, since you're the one that explained this one to me?
If I remember correctly, there's actually quite a few stuff from when it aired in Japan to when it got transferred over here to America, that whether it was dialogue or scenes getting cut. But for some reason, in America, the concept of the Safari Zone was a problem. I really don't get the issue, but I guess there's always someone that's going to be offended by something. So I don't believe they even dubbed that episode in English, so you'd have to find it with subtitles if you were able to find it. But in the Safari Zone, Ash is only able to catch certain Pokemon, and as we all know, the Safari Zone has special Pokeballs. And you can see evidence of this episode later when they return back to Oak and they're looking at all their Pokemon they've caught. And you can see Ash just has rows and rows of green Pokeballs, all of the same Pokemon. And it kind of becomes just more of a gag of how Gary is better than Ash. And even in the Safari Zone, he could only catch one type of Pokemon. And he was so eager and just caught so many that it's definitely, if you can find it, it's something that's fun to watch. And it makes that scene later on in that other episode make a little more sense.
Does Pokemon really make sense, though?
Oh, absolutely. But so... So yeah, as your favorite series, Cortland, I'm expecting you to find and watch the Safari Zone episode.
I have. It's been a while because I streamed it before, and I don't remember where. So I will find it again, and I will try to find one that's not illegal streaming so I can post it in show notes, and everybody else can watch the Safari Zone as well.
There. Dropping some Pokemon knowledge.
That's more Pokemon knowledge than I think I've ever had.
Yeah. Next time you know, have a run-in with Ronda Rousey, you'll have a lot to talk about.
Who?
She's MMA fighter. She'd pretty much break you in half.
Oh.
She likes Pokemon, though.
The other day.
So I didn't steal your thunder, did I? Did you have more to say on Pokemon?
No, not really much more I can say without having somewhere to point people to watch the episodes that you miss. Because if you watch them on Netflix, you're only going to get about half of the first season, and I think three quarters of the second season. And it just doesn't do justice to the Pokemon series because there's so many unanswered questions, just like the Safari Zone. Where all of a sudden now Ash has all these Pokemon and he has all these Pokeballs that you don't even get to see where a single one of them come from. They talk about the Safari Zone, but you never get to see it on Netflix.
That is weird the way the intellectual property and streaming rights happen, so.
Yeah. I was mad because it ended. It's like, oh, and that's all of season, or all of the Indigo League. And you're like, wait, no, there's like 10 more episodes. What are you doing?
There's so much Indigo League that they cut out. It's not even funny.
Yeah. All right. So my turn. Favorite TV show. How much time do I have?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we are done for the evening.
No, mine, it was more challenging than my favorite movie, but not really as I started to think about it. Scrubs is my all-time favorite TV series.
Are we talking about the universe here, or are we just talking about the show?
Just the show. There's no other.
No, there. When it jumped over to the other network and they did like the Scrubs University thing.
Scrubs Med School?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Oh, okay. So there's no universe. So there's just that one.
That wasn't Scrubs. That was a different. Yeah. No, I've seen every episode enough that when I was in college, Austin was over hanging out. We were going to go do something the next morning. So he was staying over. And it was always on Comedy Central. And like he turns it on and starts watching it. And it's like in the middle of the episode. And in like 30 seconds, I knew the title of the episode. Like,
you just used IMDb.
No, Austin was like, okay, you've probably watched this a little too much. But it's one of the best episodes, though, so it's hard not to know. But it's called My Way Home.
And that one. Yeah.
Yeah. JD gets called into work on his day off, and he'd been listening to Toto on his iPod. And there's just a lot of Wizard of Oz, like, stuff in there. But there's one where part of it is there's a kid who's dying, and they need to get permission from his parents to be an organ donor. And the surgeon who gets the permission from the parents gets to do the transplant. And so, like, all the surgeons are trying to get it. And, like, Turk talks with JD, and JD gives him advice on it. And Turk goes in, and it's kind of a touching, heartfelt moment that he has with the parents. But there's also just so many jokes in that series that just, some are like, you know, really, you know, you gotta have watched stuff to know what they're joking about. And other ones are just good, funny jokes. Anything with the Todd and his innuendos are classic. The bromance that JD and Turk have is awesome. When Turk's getting ready to have a baby, they paint up the nursery and paint Optimus Prime battling Megatron like a big mural painting.
I feel like that show is one that does not hold up over time. How do you feel about that?
I love it. I could probably, if I wasn't, you know, have to watch Supernatural, I could probably sit down and watch that entire series again.
But that's you, and you are obsessive and compulsive. And I think that I think that you have this love in your heart for this show, and it just doesn't hold up. Because I loved it back in the day, you know, what was it, like 7 years ago when it was like in its prime, and I loved it and I watched it. And then I started watching some of it. It was on somewhere. I started watching some of it. And I was like, why did I think this was that funny? Do you think you would think it was that funny today?
Some of it, I probably, because I know the jokes, they wouldn't, because a lot of it's the shock humor type stuff they do. But really, to me, what made the show great, why I love it, and why I think it does stand up, is because of the serious moments that they take on it, the heartfelt moments that there's when, like, they have somebody dying, and she's an organ donor, and they use the organs to save 3 other people's lives, but then they find out she actually died of rabies, and they just infected the other 3 people. And Dr. Cox was the one who had made the decision and basically had killed those other 3 people by transporting those organs into him. And, like, he's in a depression, and everybody's, like, going to his apartment to talk to him and stuff. And finally, like, JD hadn't been over there, and JD finally goes over and talks to him, and JD realizes that he couldn't go over there before because he looks at Dr. Cox is his hero, this great doctor, and he couldn't stand to see him not at his best. But then when he gets over there and sits down and talks with him and tells him, you know, JD ends up saying to him, he's like, you know what? After all this time of being a doctor, what impresses me the most is that a loss like this still gets to you.
They did do a really good job of balancing the serious with the funny. I will give you that. They did a good job on that. It wasn't just like a sitcom with a laugh track. It covered some serious stuff.
Yeah, and like I could come up with a lot of the jokes, but it's the serious moments that I remember most and what made it stand out to me than just another sitcom.
Okay, all right. So but, you've defended it. You've defended its honor.
Yep, and that's all I've got. I'm not going to jump in with any more. So it's all yours, Jordan.
Until he forgets that he almost wanted to say something and talks about brown sugar.
Really quick before I jump into mine, like Nate was saying with him being able to identify Scrubs so quickly, I just have to give a shout out to Brie because that is how she is with Law & Order SVU. That is far and away her most favorite series. I don't even know how many times she's watched it, but she knows it so well that there is one time I paused it. She came into the room and just seeing the actor's face, told me everything that happens in the episode. And she's done that multiple times. Within 5 seconds of seeing the actor, not even the scene, what's happening, she knows the entire episode. And it kind of blows me away. But as for my favorite TV series, I try really hard not to be prisoner of the moment, and I really wanted to say Salem because it is so amazing, but since it hasn't finished its second season yet, I'm not going to go there. And this one, believe it or not, was actually a little easier for me than the movies. I mean, there are a lot of great television shows, and especially like animated shows like Futurama is great. But as far as my all-time favorite, you can all give me a little round of applause. I'm not going to break the rules. I have a definite answer, and it's The Office. Just for a little perspective, the series finale aired May 16, 2013. So it's barely over 2 years. In that time, I've watched through the entire series 3 times on Netflix. That pretty much each time I finish something on Netflix, if there's a little bit of a lull, I don't know quite what to watch, there's nothing on my list, I go to that and I watch it, and it still kills me laughing every time. There's still certain parts I cry, I'm not afraid to admit. It's such an amazing mockumentary aspect, so amazing that there's really not a negative thing I can say about that show. It's not like a lot where, oh, well, you kind of have to get through the first season, or at this point it kind of lulled, but they wrote so amazingly for all of the characters that where even when Steve Carell left, they were able to keep the show going and play on that with different managers, and they just wrapped it up so perfectly that as much as I love it and always want more Office in my life, I think they did it at perfect timing with where the story was at. They didn't go too far, and it's simply amazing. There's a lot of shows I love, and for me, nothing else even comes close to The Office.
So which one would you pick, the UK one or the US one?
Well, the UK one's only about 11 episodes, so that right there, you kind of have to default to. Say that again?
Quantity over quality, is that what you're saying?
No, because the quality on both of them is great. In fact, the pilot for the American version is almost word for word the pilot for the UK version. But you don't get that same development of the characters like you do in the American version because it is so short, and you know the names are different, but basically, you know, the Pam and Jim version in the UK is still kind of the focus. And so you get that a lot more in the depth of it in the American version. You get to see the other characters. You get characters brought in from different branches that you don't get in the UK version. And so it's a high quality, and you just get a lot more of that depth, although the UK version is still very hilarious.
Yeah, see, I watched a little bit of Office, and I found it, like, redundant and basically a lot of the same joke and just overplayed and didn't think it was that funny.
As opposed to Scrubs. You going to defend the honor of The Office there, Jordan?
No, I'm kind of used to Nate just not liking what I like. Different strokes for different folks. I mean, I sat through a Supernatural rant for the 20th time tonight, so The Office part doesn't really get under my skin because I love it, and if other people don't like it, then I still have the joy in my life because of it.
It's Pam and Olive, or whatever, Jim and Pam making googly eyes at each other and harassing Dwight and their boss being just a complete moron. Like, that's every episode.
I thought you said you were done talking about Scrubs.
There's nobody named Pam.
Oh, sorry, I got the names wrong. So
yeah, I will say Scrubs is every bit as formulaic as The Office or any other TV show out there. And like I said, I don't feel I have to defend it because I do love it, but if you watch more than a couple episodes, you do see how much character development there is, and it's a great ensemble cast of characters, not just Michael, Jim, and Pam, and Dwight.
Yeah, definitely. It's one that I have always meant to watch, but I have never been able to sit down and watch it. I just haven't been able to get into it, but maybe I'll have to give that one a shot too. As long as you said that it picked it up right from the beginning, because if I have to go through 2 seasons of it before I begin to enjoy it.
Now, let's just be happy
from the
Jordan
is very enjoyable.
Yeah, let's just be happy Jordan stuck to the rules when Brandon didn't.
I know, amazing, right? Okay, so those are our favorite TV shows. We want to know what you guys have been watching, what you guys think the best TV of all time is. It's something that we definitely will direct us into what we will be talking about in the future. So if you guys have a show that you want to make sure that we cover, send us some feedback at fandompodcast.com, at fandomcast on Twitter, or facebook.com/fandompodcast. And make sure to head over to our website, fandompodcast.com. Nate and Jordan have been putting up a lot of content, which has been great, and we have another contest up there. If you can find where it is, it's probably the best prize that we've had, general prize that we've had out of any of our giveaways. So find that, make sure to use the hashtag that's mentioned, and thanks for listening to the Fandom Podcast. Make sure to like us on facebook.com/fandompodcast. Follow us on Twitter @FandomCast and jump over to our website, fandompodcast.com, to keep an eye out for all of our giveaways. You can find Jordan @EasyHandle. Nathan is @NathanFandom or facebook.com/NathanFandom. You can find Cortland on Twitter @Corthan94. And his battle tag is ThyWraith1429. And you can find me @OvergrownAsian.
And that concludes our broadcast day.